Go ahead and open our Bibles back to Revelation chapter 12. And what an exciting time it is. We're seeing these things come to pass. It's so wonderful. Grateful to the Lord is... And when I say we're seeing these things, people say, well, wait a second, we're not there. Well, I'm there. You there? You seeing these things? You better be there. You're not going to see these things. I don't want to see them afar off. And by His Spirit, I want Him to take me there and to... again, rejoice with Him and thank God. I always appreciated Brother Hill saying it's just as almost as good as really being there. But I believe I'm there. Hallelujah. So we thank God for this. But in chapter 12, as we kind of recap a little bit from last week, we saw this beautiful depiction of the whole family of God in this woman. Every detail of her that is expressed, and it's so beautiful, describing a different part of the family. From, again, she was clothed with the sun. Again, that was the bridal saints we see there in the sun glory. We see the moon under her feet, the reflected glory, which would be the innumerable multitude. And once again, as you see the moon in the sky, it appears to be the biggest object. Well, that would be the innumerable multitude, in a sense, in that degree. We saw the crown of 12 stars, the full overcomer in the Old Testament. And now we see that she is with child. And this is where we left off with the family of God, the woman giving birth to this man-child, or the woman giving birth to the 144,000 company. And the 144,000, again, are going to be 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes, which that's where you get your 144,000. And the 144,000... will begin to be assembled, they'll begin to be witnessed to at the beginning of the tribulation. So we're coming to that time when that witness is going to come forth and these ones are going to take hold of Jesus Christ. And here we are, they come to their finished state, very near the middle of the tribulation. So you think how quickly the work of God is worked in their lives. We know that the middle of the tribulation is a 3.5-year period of time. The tribulation being 7 years, and this 144,000 is raptured into heaven just prior to the middle of the week. And at that time, that just prior to them being raptured, the 144,000, we read last week that the devil will be cast out of heaven. He and his demons will be fully cast out upon the earth. Now that shocks and surprises a lot of people, but remember the Word of God says, you know, he is before God and he's trying to condemn and accuse the brethren day and night. We're going to address that here in just a second, because a lot of folks kind of say, well, why in the world would that be? And there's a few thoughts that the Lord's given me on that I think we'll share and have a good time in. But in verses 5 and 6, we saw the 144,000, they're taken up into heaven. And then the remnant is seen as the woman remaining on the earth. Now again, this remnant is all the family of God that is left upon the earth. And as we read right there, as we left off in verse 6, it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,200 and 70 days. That's 1,260 days. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And you see that remnant, or again, the remaining part of the family of God that is still here on earth, it's a wilderness time. Let me tell you something, it's a wilderness like they've never seen before, because we have Satan that's just been cast out on the earth. He has come forth like a roaring lion. He knows he has but a little time. It's a short while. This is the first time that realization has hit that dummy, that it is truly over. And so there's a fierceness and a wrath and an empowerment of God that has never been, in a sense, that is going to unleash this wickedness upon the earth that the earth has never seen. But this, again, in that great wickedness, it's only going to magnify the greatness of God in the wrap-up, as we'll see through Armageddon and all these things, because that's how the Lord always does it. He'll bring the most wicked, whether it was Pharaoh or these different ones, the ones that really harden their hearts, that are just going to defy God at every turn, but it just magnifies the greatness of God and the power of God. So now you understand your life, where it seems like, oh my goodness, I've been to the chapter of no way so many times in my life, but God loves to, again, show his wonderful power of grace and mercy in your precious life. See, and he's more absolutely interested in your individual life, believe it or not, than even all of these things which are wonderful and have to come to pass. But he is so enamored with you. Praise his name. So, that's where we have left off in that. So, let's go ahead and pick it up here. Let me see. I had a little note here. Oh, and I did want to make mention of this as well, too. This remnant that will be upon the earth, these will be mainly Jews. Sure, there will be some Gentiles in there, but we'll see. We'll go back to the verses again tonight that will point out that you'll see that when just the things that they do and say and how they're ruling into the millennial time, that will show you that the majority, overwhelmingly, of this remnant that is still upon the earth of God's precious people that goes through the last 3.5 years are Jews. And it's very beautiful to see why and how this happens. So let's go ahead and pick it up from verses 7 and 8 in chapter 12. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Remember, the dragon is the devil. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. We'll stop there just for a minute. So the devil, again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, he's been permitted all these years to accuse the brethren before God day and night. And I think one of the beautiful things in that is the torment that the devil had to have. Because as the devil has accused the brethren day and night, there's nothing to accuse there because of the blood of the Lamb. It also so sweetly magnifies the grace and mercy of our Lord. Because of that accusing, there's nothing to be accused because of the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that something? And that's, again, that's the devil. That is that spirit of the devil. And obviously in those that don't believe in Jesus Christ, that's the spirit that they have. They never get the blood of the Lamb. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So there's no comprehension of the forgiveness of God. There's no understanding that we believe and have... We have a God that forgives sin. Matter of fact, doesn't just forgive, he doesn't even remember it. Praise the Lord. There's no remembrance of it. And it's just so beautiful and powerful to me to think of how this is just magnified so sweetly that, again, all the confidence is in the Lamb. And those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb are fully justified and magnifying the Lord in that. And then you notice here it says Michael and the angels are sent to do this work. And I think this is a wonderful thing, that the Lord, in a sense, doesn't have us to do this. Now, we're fighting principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, yes, we are. And we know that that's the enemy. But that's our battle right now. And praise God, how do we fight? We fight the good fight of faith. It's the word of God. See, and I'm thankful to that, brothers and sisters, because let that really speak to you. It's always the word of God. I was able to visit with a brother yesterday, and I do believe that the enemy can be allowed to be to appear in certain ways, houses and different sightings of maybe demonic or shadows or things of that, and I know it can battle us. I told you one time in my life, I know that the Lord permitted when I was a teenager and I was lying in my bed. I knew that there was an evil spirit that came into my room, and I know that it sat above my bed. And it sat upon me, and I could sense it. And I thank God. The only thing that came forth was, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that thing was gone just like that. And it wasn't that I was talking to that. I never have to speak to the enemy. I call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord is the one that battles that. And that's a huge thing. I've even encouraged to sometimes when different saints have been praying over the years, and just as the Lord permit and would lead my heart, there'd almost be like they're talking to and battling the devil. Well, we need to just call out to the one that's already defeated the devil. And in that name, nothing can stand against it. So there's where we go. And I thank God in this same encouragement. I see this, and I'm grateful to God that we're battling now. But in that time and at that place, Michael and the angels are going to send to do that work. We're going to pour forth the judgment with the Lord. And defeated dirty devil, he's going to send his angels to do that. And I think about how he protects us even now. Because remember, until he that hinders is taken out of the way, the Lord is not even going to allow the tribulation to even start. Just that woe to begin in that regard. Because he loves that bridal company so much. Praise God. Amen. So, let's get with it. All right. 9 through 12. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Look at that. The whole world. And we see this happening even now. We see this happening, so sadly, even in our country, which has had such a blessing of godliness over so many years. And yet we see the compromise that has gone throughout the years. And we see where it's ended up. To really, truly, it's not even, I know they say good God, good devil, good everybody, has that used to be said. It ain't good God anymore. It's just good devil, good everybody. God's out of the picture. I mean, it's gotten that bad. But we've seen it ushered in so quickly in the last so many years. It's just increasing at an increasing and an increasing rate. So, we have here, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See them, those angels that decided to go with him way back yonder when that was not going to be. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Notice that again. You want to overcome in your life? You overcome by the blood. Everything is in the blood, isn't it? The power in the blood. See, you overcome sin because of the blood of the Lamb. It's done. Amen. You know that all of that power and grace is there, praise God. And then in every failure we have, praise God, where is that blood poured forth? On the mercy seat. Amen. So we thank God. See, it's full power right there. And then in that power, we have the word of that testimony in our lives. And it's the word of our testimony. It's the word of their testimony. It's the testifying, praise God, of faith. Faith, amen. When you have faith, and I mean true faith, you love when you have true faith by the grace of God. There's thankfulness, there's joy, there's praise, there's confidence. Amen. There's humbleness, there's lowliness. Everything that is of God and godliness comes forth by faith. Because what is faith? It's the word of God. And as we believe the word of God, it pleases God. There's nothing else that pleases God. It's only his son, the word. Amen. And there we go. And this is this power that is there. And then they loved not their lives unto death. We'll get to that in here in just a minute. But therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And praise God, we'll be there. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, this is the moment he finally realizes, I'm done. And that doesn't mean he's going to back off and sulk. That means it's just more fierceness, more what, I mean, it almost, well, how much more could it be? Let me tell you something, it will be more. And it will be much more. A more that this world has never seen of wrath and wickedness of the enemy. So now it is this full force of the devil, the horde of his demons, going forth as a roaring lion. And this will happen in the last half of the tribulation. Heaven will rid all of all evil because Christ Jesus now will take the throne with his wife. And it's by the blood, and again, the wonderful blood of the Lamb. We see this time here in Matthew 28, 18. And I'll read some of these, and if you'd like to go with me, I think it'd be good. But in Matthew 28, 18, this is the time we're approaching right here. And we're going to get to here pretty soon. But again, this is where we're coming to. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This we're not exactly there yet. Obviously, that'll be at the time of the millennium. But we're coming to that point where it's all going to be given to him. And this is part of this because Satan is cast out of this place that he's been in for all of these years. Satan is cast out as the prince in the power of the air. Jesus Christ is now taking that throne. In a sense, if you think about it, he will rule on earth. And he will rule in heaven. God will give him his throne as well too. So it's so beautiful. This is all in all. The prophecy in Daniel 7, 9 is coming forth. It says that Daniel said, I saw thrones cast down. And that's where our Savior will take that place, praise God, and will be, and is, we know, but we'll see this come to fruition of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, praise God. And take note, it's through the power, again, the power of the blood of the Lamb, that's how it's overcome, the power of the testimony. And what is that testimony? I love that little saying there in the 11th verse, they loved not their lives unto death. Praise God. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. See, this is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He didn't count his life dear. He didn't count even all of those trophies. Remember, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing towards the only thing that matters, the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what is so beautiful here. In that glorious testimony, we know it's all about the blood of the Lamb. And God so proved this testimony of not loving their lives unto death. Think about even the disciples. There they were when they were, again, beginning with the Lord and things and didn't really know him in the sense of the mightiness and the power of his love and obviously the power of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because that's how you know the love of Christ. That's when the love of Christ is truly shed abroad in our hearts. And so there we had all of those disciples that ran away during the crucifixion, and at that time he was to be crucified. But at the end, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, after they had that anointing of the word of the Lord, as it says in the word of God and in different places in history, every single one of them became a martyr. They were willing to die for him. They didn't count their lives dear. It was precious to see the transformation. And that was the testimony of the Lord. And that's what, praise God, that even is working today in us, when truly we quit being self-centered. And the center of our life becomes the Lord. When it's not about my aspirations, but it's about his will and his purpose. Amen? And I thank God. And I think one of the great testimonies of that growth in our lives as well is for others, not just for our own life, but even for other people. Whether it would be people that are our enemies, to have a love for our enemies, that you would want them to come to the things of God. When you have love even for children, that you have different aspirations and thoughts. Again, there's patterns, there's that we walk, and whatever we do heartily unto God. But the greatest thing for any life is they would grow up into him in all things. That's it. Praise the Lord. That's the mark for every life. And when that really truly becomes our love, I believe we're beginning to grow up. And thank God that we can see the word of God coming forth. So at this time, heaven is rejoicing. Isn't that wonderful? It says, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. See, aren't you thankful? Praise God that you know. I'm grateful to God I know. I'm grateful to God I'm not going to be on earth in woe at this time that's never been seen before. I'm thankful to God that I'll be rejoicing in heaven. And I'm really thankful to God I'm rejoicing right now. I believe, hallelujah, this is our place. This is what I'm waiting for. This is what I'm looking forward, that nothing's, by the grace of God, nothing's going to stop it. I'm thankful to God. I'm confident in the grace of God that's going to have this place for me. Amen. This is beautiful that we can, again, be encouraged of the Lord to trust him and have our confidence in him. But it says, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The devil knows he's done. And he's going to try and destroy it all, as the word of God says, it's roaring lion time. So, The first thing he does, isn't this amazing? The first thing the enemy does in verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. He went right after the people of God. See, when he gets opportunity, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does. Now, again, as we've been encouraged and know in the Word of God, the devil knows that he can't keep us out of heaven, but he'll do anything and everything that he is permitted to try to keep us from the things of God. When you're walking away from truth, when we're making decisions that are apart from God's will in our life, we know that that is directed by the enemy. God's not directing that. God is allowing that. He's allowing this test. He's allowing this temptation that would be upon us. But brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, again, greater is he that's in me. And that greater that's he that's in me, that's the love of Christ that's in my life. And I'm thankful to God. I've been encouraged even as of late, and I know he's working a sweet witness and a sermon on this as well too. But isn't it wonderful when God scares you? And I mean it, seriously. Be thankful when you're scared of the Lord. You know, one guy who really wasn't ever scared too much was stupid old Pharaoh. Time and time again, God scared him, but he didn't take it seriously. Let me tell you something, those that fear the Lord, and I understand that fear is in awe, but I'm talking about sometimes God's really got to get a hold of us, and he'll show you something. He'll show you something. He'll show you death. He'll show you what could happen and all these things, and he lays it down right there. Listen. Praise God. And this is so wonderful because here we go. We see that the enemy, that's all that he's there to do. All he's there to do is to kill. So, again, I think about how dumb the enemy is, though. Because God's only using the devil to magnify his deliverance and his might. Because we know that the remnant, the woman that goes out into the wilderness, the last of the Christians that are left upon the earth, God's going to protect them. Yeah, there will be ones that will die, yes. Those are the saints that are under the altar that we see there in chapter 6 of Revelation. But praise be to God, there's a plan for each and every one of their lives. And the majority of these are going to go through, alive, through this tribulation time. I think it would be just like Paul said, that he'd be happier to be with the Lord. But there's going to be a purpose for these to go through. And the mighty encouragement of God that'll bring these forth, all of these Christians that'll go through the tribulation and live into the millennium, and will reign with him in the millennium upon earth. What a precious time that will be. But God, again, is using the enemy to magnify his truth. But that only goes, again, the enemy's only going to do this for a moment. Some of those, again, as I mentioned, are going to be persecuted. But the rest, praise God, as it says, will go on and be protected. So let's read verses 14 through 16. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Remember this again as well too. Notice how it says, and she is nourished, and she is taken into what? Into her place. So here comes this horrible time, this event like the world has never seen, a trial that is so great, but yet God has prepared the place. That's your life. Every trial we go through, every test we go through, but God has already prepared the place. And the place of nourishment, the place of protection, the place that, praise the Lord, there's a full overcomer that's right there for you. Hallelujah. And know this. This is our God. This is exactly what he does for us. But here he is, and nothing's hard for him, but he's doing it for these last survivors of believers that are upon this earth. And it's just so precious. It encourages me greatly how intimately involved he is with me. So again, these two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Again, she's an overcomer. She takes this place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the face of the serpent. That's, again, the 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Praise God. This is just as in Exodus 19:4. I love how the Lord said it there about when he took them out of Egypt. Can you imagine he said something like this before in Exodus 19:4? It said, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Isn't that beautiful? See, that's how the Lord delivers us. We're overcomers. You believe the Lord, he's going to deliver you. He will always deliver you. Even in the problems, the trials that we have right now, believe him. Those wings are there and he will deliver you. He has prepared a place. Take flight and let him nourish you. Praise God. It'll pass. And it'll be a good time when you're hunkering down, when you know this is going on. Let me tell you something. Those that were believing God as they were going through these times, and there weren't a lot of them. See, you can either see the acts of God or you can know the ways of God. And when you know the ways of God, it's a good time. It's a wonderful time. You can be in the furnace and you can have absolute perfect peace. You can be like Daniel in a lion's den and you can rest. Amen. Yeah. Because you're confident in the word of the Lord. And in that, think about those ones that were confident like that in the word of God. They weren't willy-nilly about the word of God before they got there. They were prayerful. They studied the word of God. They studied to show themselves approved. They were readied for that test. Know the word. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. By the grace of God, I want to be more and more all the time. How exciting life is. This is exciting. I'm seeing revelation like I've never seen it because I'm getting there. Hallelujah. He's bringing me there by faith to live these things. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, it goes on that, again, about these saints that are still there. This is the church of Thyatira. If you remember the seven churches. These are the ones, as they call, are they're called the five foolish virgins. They're the fourth rank. We read of them in, let's just go on over there, Revelation 2:6. Be reminded again. And I like hitting these things again and again, you know. They say that you hear them three times, you need to hear them 70 times seven. There you go. But in 2:26, this is the church of Thyatira. Now, listen to what it says. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. See, that's exactly where this group of saints, praise the Lord, that'll go all the way through. Remember, as we speak and we've rejoiced in. See, the ones that will be ministering the things of God and Christ and again that precious blood of the Lamb are going to be the Jews. As we go into the millennial time. And it's going to be so sweet that they're going to be the ones that will be witnessing all of these different things. If you go on over to Revelation 18:4, let's read about this same company again. Revelation 18:4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." So we're going to get into our study and we're going to see that, again, the great harlot, that beast, the Antichrist, all of that horrible sin and wickedness and apostasy that comes forth in this time, there's going to be plagues that are sent. There's going to be things that are going to hit them that are, again, beyond imagination, beyond even the plagues of Egypt. But, as it says here in encouraging, but my people, come out of that. I'll protect you from that. Don't go that way. Continue to draw away from that. Go on over to chapter 20, verse 4. We'll read more about them here as it ends up. And in 20, verse 4, here we go. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. See, these are the ones that are going to be in this last 3.5 year time. Some of them will die, but some of them will go through. But they refuse that mark. Isn't that amazing how powerful the word of the Lord will be encouraged in these ones? There will be an oppression upon this world that it's never been seen. I know a lot of us have seen different movies and different things about, you know, whether it's been kind of cultish movies or whatever it would be, where, you know, it's like they've hypnotized all these people to worship and believe. Let me tell you something. This is coming, and it's going to be real, and it's going to be the world, and the world is going to wonder after this beast. We're going to get a little taste of that tonight, why these things happen. But we can see this, our world right now, it's set up for that. The world is looking for a man like they've never looked for one before. And you can see how angry everyone is that's not, again, looking to the Lord. They're angry because, oh, it's this one, it's this one, it's this one. Well, let me tell you something. When the enemy is given that power, and it's going to be, again, given of God, God's going to allow that power to have that absolute hate and sin from the abyss enter into that one. We can't even understand that. But I know the word of God says it, and it's going to be so. And the world will wonder after him. And truly, even, I'm going to tell you, I believe it even kind of gives us a little bit of an inkling. God's precious people will even, ones that are a little bit slow to it, they'll be fooled. Think about God's precious people today being fooled by wind of doctrine. By things that aren't true. That's the enemy. The enemy wants to get you distracted. The enemy wants to get you thinking of different things. The enemy wants you to go after what feels good. And that's all that this Antichrist is going to bring. Remember, as we started this study, all he does is he lies. They're just lies, and there's more lies. But there's power in them lies when you believe them. That's the difference. Praise God. All right. So, again, how mighty, I mentioned, about these believers that God keeps through the tribulation. And they'll go on to the millennium. They'll go on through the millennium. They'll rule upon the earth. And it's so awesome to see as well, too, as it says, the Lord opens up to swallow the flood of the enemy. We know that the devil is going to send the world's armies with such hate to try and destroy, and specifically try and destroy Israel and all of the saints. But he's got a problem, but God. Amen. Okay? And it's the same problem he faces today for your life, but God. See, that's why I say this is wonderful to read and to thank the Lord and to understand the place. But understand the encouragement that we have right now. Is anything hard for my God? And this is when he explains and he shows you these things, again, that he's done in the Old Testament, what he'll do, praise God, in the times to come. Praise him for what he can do right now in your life. And that's the power of faith. I'm thankful if you go over to Isaiah 59:19, here was prophecy of Isaiah talking about these things, which is so sweet. In 59:19. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know who knew that was David. David knew that. David knew that, and he thanked the Lord. He said, you know, lift up the standard and swallow the flood of the enemy. I found that in a big way this past year, and I saw God do that time and time again, where the enemy just thinks he's got you, and then he just falls right in the pit. He opens that up. And why do you think we read about all these earthquakes through Revelation as well, too? See, God will use that. He'll open up. Every time the enemy thinks he's got somebody cornered, planned, whatever, he parts the sea. Anytime he thinks, you know, he's got the lions there, he shuts their mouth. Anytime he thinks he's got, oh, he's going to just burn you with fire and all that, man, ain't going to even have you smelling like smoke. This is our God. And thank the Lord that he is for us. So, he did the same for David. He's going to lift up that standard. He's going to swallow the flood of the enemy. And thanks be to God that we can testify of these things. Now notice this. The devil, though, never gives up all the way through. But to no avail, because once again, greater is he that's in thee than he that's in the world. And this is so precious again. Now, as we close up tonight, I just want to go into a few of the verses in chapter 13. And I think that this will be an encouragement to us, because what we're going to have revealed now is the unveiling of the great counterfeit. It's all been setting up. It's all been building up. Now comes forth the great counterfeit. And if you think about the great counterfeit, you know, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's going to come forth is the unholy Trinity. You're going to have Satan, you're going to have the Antichrist, and you're going to have the false prophet. So again, it's going to come in just like that as well. And there's going to be many types that's going to be the counterfeit that's going to have them following the world that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ is going to have them following after him. So Lucifer is going to try and accomplish to destroy, think of this, God's precious people. He's going to try and destroy Israel. And then, even in his wrath, he's going to just try and destroy everything. But once again, but God. So let's read the first two verses of 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. So you talk about demon possessed. This is devil obsession and all of the power again of hell and this force of evil behind this. So as we begin here, we're going to read of two beasts as we begin to go through here. First of all, we're going to have the collective beast, which we're reading of right now, which is this one of seven heads that rises out of the sea. This rising out of the sea means he's rising out of the Gentile nations. The sand here speaks of shifting times, very unsteady times. We're hitting very unsteady times, brothers and sisters. Financially, war, rumors of war. We've got stuff. We have things we can't even control. Everybody acts like they have an answer to it. We don't. It seems like all we're doing is setting it more and more on fire because we're not turning to God. Man's turning to man, and man's only going to dig a bigger hole. So we see that is the first beast. Now, the second beast that we'll read of here shortly is the one known as the Antichrist. But this first beast, as we see here, that rises out of the sea, that's got the seven heads and the ten horns as well, too, we've touched on many times throughout the study. We talked about this, that Daniel saw this beast. This beast that we see here incorporates all of the empires of the ages. That's why you see the leopard and the bear and the lion. The Babylonian Empire, we see the Persian Empire, we see the Greek Empire, and then obviously we were given the Roman Empire. But as we've talked about, too, in the sense in the Roman Empire, yes, it ended, but it really never ended because it was still kind of Europe and all of those things, and it comes back into prominence as well, too. As well, you cannot deny that the Catholic Church has continued this, this Romanish empowering throughout this time, too. So, you know, there's lots of things working here. We don't know exactly, but there's a lot of type and shadow that we should sure be excited about right now. Look up. Look up, because it is coming. Now, why we see this leopard is, again, that was the Greek Empire. The leopard speaks of swiftness. Let me tell you, 7 years is a very short amount of time. That's going to be quick. But you see how fast things are happening now. You think about how the time that we live in, we would never thought of these things could happen so fast. But with technology, isn't that amazing how things expedite, how things get around, how things can just change on a dime. And this is, again, the swiftness of the Greek that's seen in the Greek Empire that was with the leopard. And the one that was so magnified in the Greek Empire was Alexander the Great, one of the greatest conquerors there's ever been. Then the bear speaks of the Persian Empire, which speaks of strength and fierceness, relentless pursuit of a bear. It's funny, and I shouldn't say it's funny because it wouldn't be funny to be up in that tree. But those guys that have run from those bears, that a bear's chased them down, they get up in that tree. There's some guys that have been up there for days. Because that bear don't leave. And he kind of goes away a little bit, but he ain't really going away. He's just waiting for the meat to come down for breakfast. And but there's a fierceness, there's a relentness there that doesn't stop. And then finally, the lion is Babylon. And again, that was that fierce, huge, massive army Notice it's going to be the dragon, the devil, that gives this ultimate place and power for this satanic culmination and ending. Now, as we discussed about the seven heads, they speak of seven nations. Now, some believe that these seven heads speak of the seven hills. Now, the seven hills can be seen as Rome. So there's, and brothers and sisters, you have to know, when it says the world wanders after the beast and the great harlot and that mysticism that's back there and the false prophet, we're talking about the great religions of the world. And yes, I'm sure the Romanesque empire and that encouragement again to that beast and the direction again of the people, it has to be of these great religions of the world. It has to be of that. There isn't going to be anything else that's going to influence people in that regard and in that that realm. So we have the religious influence. I've heard people say, well, the seven hills, they say New York City is, and they say, well, that's Babylon. Well, we can begin to guess and all of these things, but I truly believe these are seven nations. I believe that this is how powerful this thing is, and we've already been encouraged about what nations they would be. Then the ten horns are those strengths, as it says, they're the kings without kingdoms. I've heard people say that those ones, the supporting cast, could be the European Union. It could be the old Soviet bloc countries. I believe that there's a very good possibility. It could be even these new terrorist organizations as well, too. And I shouldn't even say they're new. They've been around for years and years. This caliphate has been going on for centuries. People better waken up to it. But people aren't going to waken up to it. I shouldn't say it that way. It's just, I pray that we're awake. But don't let it get your attention. Just understand that this is just that evil that's working. But praise God, it's being orchestrated of the Lord, because it's for the purpose that Christ Jesus is going to be magnified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They will confess that he is Lord. And this will come. So this is what's so beautiful. Notice our God has always done it that way. He brings it to the brink where man would think there's no way. But those that believe rejoice. Those that believe thank him. Those that believe will even praise him in the night. Praise God. Let's be as those that believe. Amen. So the one thing that's consistent over all of this is this name blasphemy. That blasphemy is complete apostasy. The blasphemy is the rejection of the blood of the Lamb. Complete antichrist worship that will plague the world. They'll be incensed with such hate and fierceness that's never been seen before. Now, these are exciting things that are coming to pass, because we can see it coming to pass. We can see these things begin to take place even right now. Verses 3 and 4. And we'll close with this. We're just going to touch upon it. We'll get back into it, God willing, next week. It says, and I saw one of his heads. So one of the heads of this beast that has these seven heads, as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. So notice, they worshiped the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is this is like a horror movie beyond any movie, because this is the real one. But the devil will be given power to raise up one of the heads, or as Daniel calls him, the little horn. And this wound will be to the head. This wound will be to death. This wound will be healed after a three and a half day span, just as a Christ type in that regard, and the world wonders after him. In chapter 17, we'll get to this, but it's good to say of it right now. Five of the heads, of the seven heads, five of them will fall. The sixth, it says, is slain by the sword. And then the seventh begins to ascend to take power. But that's when that sixth one that was slain, this is what's exciting, is healed by Satan. And that sixth one comes back and ascends from the pit of the abyss And the world not only wonders after him, the world worships him because he presents himself as God. That's coming. Praise God. Don't fear that. Remember about the rejoicing in heaven? Even, and God forbid any of us here would be in the innumerable multitude. We didn't hand palms out here to come in the church tonight. You already came in with your crown. Praise God. Hold it fast. Amen. That's Paul's gospel. But we rejoice. But let this be sobering. This is coming. This will be. As the word of God has always been, it's true. And it will come to pass. So here we have this one that ascends from the pit of the abyss. This is why that empowerment is so incredible. And the result of any life that has rejected Christ Jesus, they're going to follow after this one. And it's always been that way, believe it or not, because they're of the devil. Read what it says about those right now that reject Christ Jesus. Here's 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 8 through 10. He that commits sin is of the devil. Does a child of God commit sin? Nope. That's why a child of God's not of the devil. But we can also understand and deduct who that would be. Anybody who doesn't believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Savior would fit this description that they do commit sin and are of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. Because why? He is born of God. Not because he holds it till the end. Not because he's a faithful guy. Not because he's kept the Ten Commandments as best as he could. It's because he's born of God. He's of God. That birth, that seed that remains, it's done. It's done. Praise the Lord. There's my mom. It's done. That's the seed. There ain't going to be another one, naturally speaking. That's it. I got a mom and a dad. That was it. Just like every life here. You might not like it. You might like it. It doesn't really matter. That's done. How much more so? And that's the type that God gives us. It's because we're born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, yes. Lord really encourages us here. So where I'm going with this is so many Christians, and I've been there before, don't really want to admit and accept this. We want to live in some type of denial because, well, my friend seems so nice and this and that and everything. But the word of God tells us we're either of God or we're of the devil. There's no tweener. There isn't, well, you know, he's kind of working a little line there. There's no tweener. You're one of the other. You know, you're either alive or you're dead. And as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, remember this very much for your lives, because by the grace of God, we're of God. And the reason we're of God is because of our beautiful Jesus who died on the cross for us. Is this not our reasonable service to love him and to listen to him, one who has loved us so much, to at least to give an ear to hear, and then at least to bend a knee to pray, Lord, work this in my life. Quit letting me be hard to the things. This is love. God is love. The word of God is the only love there is. And this is the love, praise God, wherewith we are loved, and the love and encouragement. And remember, he withholds nothing good from our lives. This is what is good for our lives is the word of God, and the only good. So what does he tell us? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is direct. It's clear. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What communion has life with death? Amen. The word of God even goes further, even in our fellowship, that if we have brethren that truly are just bent on a destructive life and a path, there wouldn't be fellowship with them. But there's a praying always for that restoration. You always love and want that restoration. But you don't go and tie yourself to that to sink. What accord, hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You're the temple of God. You're the temple of God. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. I will be your God. And you shall be mine. My people. Amen. How much we're loved. And it's amazing how rapidly all this takes place. I don't want to, we could just rejoice tonight forever. But you can see the world is ready for this man right now. They're looking for a savior. They're looking for a champion. But they passed up the only one there will ever be. And we just celebrated and thanked the Lord. He was that one that came in the lowly manger. Oh, aren't we thankful? But see, that's our beautiful Lord. And how inviting and welcoming is a Savior like that? Isn't that wonderful? That he became one of us. Became one of us. Knows us like that. Rejoices. Like he said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Praise the Lord. I want the word of the Lord to work in my life. I want to be a faithful friend. I do. I love him. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.